Line, Willie DeMace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Training camp has officially wrapped up. We are less than 1 week away from roster cutdown day. Titans' third and final preseason game tomorrow night against the New England Patriots. People, we are close to football, and we are in crunch time.
We're in crunch time. I was on a football field this morning. If you notice, I am a little sweaty.
Uh-huh.
It is hot.
It is hot.
I was at Vanderbilt Stadium just minutes ago. I spent the morning at the Vanderbilt football practice. A little chaotic over there.
I'm sure it was.
They got a lot of cranes, a lot of dirt, a lot of rocks. They are doing a lot of things. You can start to see what is going to be an amazing venue in another year or so.
Uh-huh.
It's a work in progress. So just prepare yourself if you haven't been on the campus since last fall. Okay.
It looks a little different.
It's going to be weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Just get over it. Just go with it. But think about what it's going to look like. They're actually going to hang a huge scoreboard from a pair of, because there's no end zone.
Because
they're doing construction in both end zones. So they have to have a huge scoreboard put in that will be hanging from a couple of, I don't know if you call them cranes or whatever.
Chains.
Yeah.
I was on a run by Vanderbilt the other day, and I was looking at just like a big, you know, giant open field. I don't know if it was like a rec field or soccer field or whatever it was on Vanderbilt's campus. I was like, what is that massive SATCO sign doing just laying in there? I was like, oh my God, that's the scoreboard. That's not a SATCO sign. That's a SATCO ad on the Vanderbilt scoreboard. And I did think about climbing over, maybe getting a couple pictures with the Vanderbilt scoreboard. But it does look different.
Yeah.
It does look different. But there will be football nonetheless.
Hawaii
whether it's cosmetically
on Saturday night.
Appealing or not.
They are very excited. One of the things that we talked with Mitch Light about their team is they are going to be better. They are very excited about their incoming freshman class, the youthful part of their roster. They're going to be better. You could be better and still have the same record, but it would be great if they could break through and get back to the postseason. That would be a great, I think, reasonable goal to see if you can squeak out six wins, although you won't see a ton of people predicting them to win a lot of league games. But they've got a good group of local kids who they got to, quote, stay home, that they really think over time are going to be excellent players for them. So there's a good energy. Clark Lee, is you can just see what he's building over there. We'll see what it looks like on Saturday, but it was fun to get over there and practice. I sweat a little bit getting over there, and I might have a little farmer's tan, but
well, that's all
right. It was worth it. I was right in there. I was on the field.
Now,
I wasn't running plays or anything.
Well, I hope you wasn't.
No. They didn't let me go into the huddle.
Willie's
or anything
the new
like that.
OC.
Now, that's the quarterback, Willie.
How are they handling, before we get into all things Titans, how are they handling the Hawaii game? Did Coach mention anything about that?
In terms of
considering what, you know, they're going through on the islands and everything else, have the team made it over yet?
Hawaii is here. They are in town
okay.
now. In fact, I just heard Joe Dubin on with Chase. Joe is filling in for Chase tomorrow. He actually said he reached out to the Hawaii coach, and the Hawaii coach, as you might understand, has done dozens of interviews just talking about what's happening in Maui, which is not where University of Hawaii is in Honolulu, which is not on the
different island.
But
different island.
Still, they're obviously, you can imagine what it's feeling like
family
on a
members.
Day-to-day basis there.
Yeah,
it's been unbelievable. So they're here. They've been practicing, acclimating to the time change and everything like that. I didn't talk to anybody today about anything special they're doing, but I would bet there will be QR codes and things like that during the game if people want to help out. I see that on a lot of broadcasts right now. I see that on a lot of NFL preseason games that have nothing to do with Hawaii, but people are just trying to reach out and find ways to make a contribution. I watched on MLB Network the other day, Joe Torre, who he and his wife vacationed in Hawaii for years and years, going back to like the 1960s, 70s. And he said there is a huge campaign from the sports world to try to help what's going on over there. really, really tough situation.
I did see a portion of the proceeds from ticket sales on Saturday are going to.
That's good.
I don't know. I don't have the exact, you know, charitable donation that it is going to, but it is going to a cause that is, you know, donating money to the families that were, you know, affected by the fires in Maui. So good move by Vanderbilt there. I know it's going to be an emotional game for really everyone involved, but it's an exciting opportunity for Vanderbilt and for Clark Lee to start off this season after so much buzz and so much excitement and a lot of overachieving for that Vanderbilt team this past year, winning two SEC games. I don't think anyone, Vanderbilt fans included, Willie, expected that to happen. So, you know, the bar is raised even higher.
Yeah, that was a good thing for them last year. I think it's gotten them some momentum. I think they feel good about there are a lot of freshmen, for example, that are pushing to get in there. That's a sign that your recruiting classes have gotten better. Like I've said many times before, he was not left with much at all to go with. So he has had to build it from scratch. And that being said, I do think they're going to be better. Their offense, I think, in particular, has got a chance to be really solid. I still think they're a little ways away on defense, but hopefully better than they were last year. They have the entire offensive line back.
That's good.
A lot of skill players back. You're really going to like you probably noticed him last year at D-Mays, but Will Shepard, the wide receiver, he is good. And from what I'm told, he's had a very good offseason, looks good out there. So we'll see how it all translates when you get on the field. But one of the things to keep in mind is how non-competitive they were against the elite teams in the league. And, you know, that's not what it's about right now. But you would like to see them close that gap on Saturdays of just not being overmatched by the elite talent. So that's one thing to look for. But that's not necessarily got anything to do with wins and losses. Mm-hmm. Like if you told me they get blown out six times but they'd win six, you might take that.
It, yeah.
But part of the process is just, you know, what are you looking like talent-wise? Are you starting to get a little closer with more guys on the field that could play for lots of other teams in the league? And I think they're doing that. They're doing much better in that area.
I talked to Chris Lee yesterday, VandySports.com, and I asked him, you know, what has been Clark Lee's method or plan to make sure that Vanderbilt doesn't just become a talent generator for the rest of the league? Look at Ray Davis, their leading rusher this past season, transfers to Kentucky. Mike Wright, the starting quarterback from this past season, transfers to Mississippi State. That how can Vanderbilt become one of those places that you go to win, not one of those places that you go and establish yourself just to transfer away to maybe a more competitive or bigger program? And he said that that's something that Clark has really started from the bottom up, of getting the guys in there and really, you know, installing these beliefs in them that this is a place where you can win. And it starts from depth, and it starts from a place of you can come to Vanderbilt and you can contribute to us right away, which is something that not every school in the SEC can offer a true freshman.
Yeah, you're right about that. But also, I don't think that's just a Vanderbilt problem.
Now, I think it's becoming a college football problem.
It's a college football problem, but I think because of where the Vanderbilt program has been, they can't afford for guys to come, do some good work, and then end up leaving. Now, you can do that at, you know, Alabama or Georgia, LSU, other teams like that. But at Vandy, because all they're going to do is replace you with another five-star and keep it moving. But at Vandy, if you got a good player, you got to keep them there somehow, some way. So,
and that's where depth comes into play,
and that's
too.
Where depth comes in. And just listening to Clark Lee the few times we've had him on, I mean, you know, and especially when we went over and did the show, I think twice. Was it last year, Willie? We did the show twice from Vandy. It might have been last year or the year before. But just listening.
I think it was last year we were in the old training table.
Exactly. Yeah. Just listening to his message, you can tell that he's dedicated to building this program the right way so it can be sustained.
Yeah, and I think the best way that they can do what they're capable of, obviously they have to keep up with the evolution of NIL and all that stuff. They got to do that. Facilities, just go over there. You'll see there's it's not just, hey, let's throw $1 million over here and paint the flagpoles. I mean, they're doing it.
It costs $1 million to paint the flagpole. I'll paint them.
I mean, it's an unbelievable in-depth project that's going to center around football, mm-hmm. but it's going to help baseball. It's going to help basketball. There's a lot. There's a huge commitment happening. That's going to help. And then I think he's got to create an environment where the guys just love being there. If you do that, I think it's you have a few less people. You're always going to have one or two mm-hmm. to like, hey, you know, I'm not playing. Maybe I could play more at school B. Mm-hmm. But especially if they're excelling there, you want a few less players to say, hey, is the grass greener on the side? I love it here. I want to be here. That's really what you can control. You mm-hmm. can't control somebody that's like, I want to go make more money. You know, maybe that's always going to be a challenge mm-hmm. at certain places, especially in this league where it's becoming more and more like a pro league at the very, very top, you know, for a certain small percentage of the players. There may be real money out there. If it's about a few extra $1,000, I think if you have a great atmosphere, mm-hmm. it's worth staying if you love it where you are and you're going to get a degree from Vanderbilt. I mean, I think there's a lot that you bring to the table. If you're going to be in Nashville, if you're going to be networking in a place where you could make it to the NFL, but also if you don't, whenever you stop playing, you're going to have a network that can help you succeed after football too.
You can't control players leaving your program. No. I think that's more apparent now more than ever. And that's not just a Vanderbilt problem. I mean, there's players transferring away from Alabama. Players transfer away from Georgia. Players transfer away from national title contenders all the time. But what you can control is how can I make sure that, one, that these players are having a valuable experience, and, two, that we can become one of those plug-and-play kind of programs of we have one player transfer, we have another player go down with an injury, well, we've got another player that's prepped and ready to step in if and when their time comes. But coming up next, Malik Willis. It was the Malik Willis Show on Saturday. We have not heard yet how Mike Vrabel is going to approach this quarterback, you know, situation on Friday night against the New England Patriots. Is Will Levis good to go? If so, how much time does Will Levis get? Ryan Tannehill, are we going to see some of him? That's a different story mm-hmm. that we can absolutely get to. But in terms of Malik Willis and his growth and his development, we heard from two quarterback football gurus, their evaluation of what they've seen from Malik Willis so far, and how do we feel about it? We'll get into that coming up next, and of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Titans have their final preseason game against the New England Patriots tomorrow night. And Mike Vrabel was asked about, you know, how does this final preseason game kind of play into evaluation? He said, first and foremost, I want all of these guys to be going 100% from the moment they walked in here. It's not like all of a sudden in the third preseason game, now all of a sudden they've got something to play for. But he said, hey, we're going to be doing our evaluations through the game on Friday night and into the weekend and into Monday. And we're going to be watching the film and breaking it down. And Rand and I are going to have these conversations officially before roster cutdown day on Tuesday. So Rand and Mike Vrabel and these position coaches, they're going to continue to do their evaluations on some of the fringe roster guys of who's going to be that sixth receiver and who's going to be that final safety and who's going to be contributing to special teams. Of course, we'll be watching for those things as well. But I think the biggest thing that we're going to be watching for on Friday night is the same thing that we've been watching for all preseason long and all training camp long. And that's looking at the quarterbacks. Malik Willis and Will Levis and their backup quarterback competition, assuming that we won't see Ryan Tannehill on Friday night. But we had Tim Hasselbeck on our show earlier this week. He had his evaluation of where he thinks Malik Willis is right now. This was Tim Hasselbeck.
I still think he has a chance to become one. I don't think he's one right now, right? So say there was a situation where, whatever, Ryan was injured and, you know, he needed to go into the season as the starter. They'd be in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. And I think you look around the league and you'd say, you know, Jacoby Brissett. Like, is it perfect? No, but, like, he's prepared to go be a starter. Like, I think Malik, I think he needs more time. Now, like, saying all that, I think everyone also has to remember, like, when he was drafted, like, he was always viewed as a developmental prospect. And that doesn't mean the development happens just in one season. So, like, so do I think he could still be a starter? Yeah, I do. Do I think he is right now? No.
And I would probably agree with mm-hmm. that. You know, I don't think that Malik Willis is a starter right now. I don't. But Trevor Maddich was on with Jared on Stillman & Company later that afternoon and had a much different evaluation of where he thinks Malik Willis is right now. This was Trevor Maddich.
I'm watching Malik Willis play this game, and I'm thinking that he's making a statement, just like you said. And the statement is not a good one. The statement is, I can't play in this league. I'm not getting better. I'm not making good decisions on easy plays to make good decisions on. And I'm sitting there just scratching my head, wondering what in the world he's thinking. Now, I expect this out of Will Levis, because this is Will Levis's first time in the NFL. But Malik Willis had a lot of game time in the regular season last year. He had that experience to build from in the offseason this year, and he continues to miss layups. I mean, as I'm taking notes in that game, Jared, the most common note that I took when it related to Willis was missed opportunity, missed opportunity, missed opportunity. And the next most common note was, if he can't solve that problem with his arm, what can he solve with his arm? And those are two really bad notes to be taking on a consistent basis.
So two very different evaluations. Mm-hmm. Tim Hasbeck saying, look, he's not a starter right now, but I do think that he can potentially develop into a starting NFL quarterback. And Trevor Maddich saying there that his major takeaway from what he saw from Malik against the Minnesota Vikings was, I don't belong in this league. Where do we stand? Where do you, or whose evaluations would you align more with?
I think really they have the same evaluation. I think there is more optimism and patience with Tim Hasselbeck. I think he's seeing the same things that Trevor's seeing, but I think he's giving him a longer runway, whereas I feel like Trevor Maddich is a little bit more of a, hey, if you're asking me if he's ready to get in there right now and play, no. So I fall in the it's going to have to ratchet up. He is getting better. I don't. Mm-hmm. There's no question in my mind. He is getting better, but I still. It depends on where your bar is. Is your bar adequate backup? I'm not sure he's to that point yet, but I feel like he can get there. Adequate backup. That's a reasonable goal that I think he can still get there. But does that mean week three this year? That's the question. And is he better? Does he give you a better chance to win if he's got to start? If somebody has to start a game other than Tannehill, especially in the first half of the season, can he look a lot better than he did last year? To me, that has to be a yes if you're going to put him in there, because last year was not acceptable. The backup quarterback play that they got last year was way, way substandard, and it ruined their season to some degree.
Yeah, it did, because he wasn't ready to play. I think what's happening or what's in play here is, you can't forget what you saw. So if you can't forget what you saw last year, your evaluation of this year is going to be a little bit skewed in a sense. Because had he not played last year at all, people would be raving over him. The kid is making progress. Look at him. Yes, he still has a way to go, but he can play in this league. He may not necessarily be a starter in this league. Everybody can't start, but that doesn't mean you don't have a place in this league on somebody's team. I think because, you know, what is the old adage? Your first impression is everything. Well, his first impression wasn't good, and it wasn't his fault, because he shouldn't have been in there in the first place. But because people are looking at that, and then they look at, okay, they draft Will Levis, and Will Levis seemed to have all the tools and come from a system that is more NFL ready than not, then everyone expecting is expecting Will Levis to be the guy. So if Willis is not lighting it up, it's like, okay, he's not ready or he can't play in this league. Again, the only evaluation that I care about, and I think Willie is right, I think they both are sort of kind of saying the same thing. But
I think the difference is Tim's is looking at it like there is right now, no, but I see the potential. I think Trevor's looking at it and saying right now, no, and possibly no ever.
As a starter or as a backup? That's what I am trying to figure out.
He's just saying he doesn't
Trevor said he doesn't, which blows my mind because, again, I think Tim is looking at it from the kid has improved. Like, he shouldn't have been on the field last year at all, but it is what it is. He didn't look good. He wasn't ready. But what I've seen this year looks nothing like what I saw last year. Trevor Maddich, I believe, is just looking at it like, listen, I saw what I saw last year, and
it doesn't look that different this year.
Yeah, to me, there's nothing this kid can do that's going to convince me that he's a player in this league. Only evaluation I care about, honestly, is the Titans' evaluation. And it seems like the Titans they like what they see. Now, do they think he's a starting quarterback at this point? Probably not. But they like the way that he has come back into camp. He's come back ready, determined. He's made some strides. Yes, he does have ways to go. But he's making those strides the way the Titans believe he should make them. So Trevor could be looking at it and is holding that, you know, first impression thing to the T. Like, listen, I saw him last year. Didn't look good. He don't look good to me now. Instead of saying the kid shouldn't have been in there last year, I saw what he looked like. It wasn't good. I see him this year. He looks damn better than what he did last year, but he's still not ready to be a starter. Again, I am not that versed in quarterbacking, okay? I play with a lot of quarterbacks, but I'm not that versed in quarterbacking. But what I can tell you is, I know an improvement when I see one. I know a guy that can play in this league. He may not be a starter, but he can play in this league. And Willis, I've seen some bad quarterbacks in this league that are still playing in this league. So you can't tell me that this one isn't a quarterback that can play. He's not a starter right now, and he may not ever be a starter in this league. I don't know. That's not for me to determine. I can't see it into the future. But I tell you one thing. I haven't seen an improvement. This kid can play in this league, but he's not a starter at this point.
But does improvement from last year necessarily mean that he can play in this league?
It depends on what role we're talking about. If we're saying who is the guy that can back up in week three, that's a big question. But you heard Tim Hasselbeck say it. He was drafted as a project.
Yeah.
If you're a minor league baseball player drafted as a project, you have 5-6 years. To build and learn some of the things. In football, you can't do that. But I think for Malik Willis, they didn't let Steve McNair on the field until the very, very end of his second year. He played 2 games when the team was out of the race. He sat the entire time because why? He had to learn the NFL offense. And then he got better every year. That's what we should be thinking about with Malik Willis is he should be on a 3-4-5 year track, honestly. It to me, like, could he be a backup where he gets a little bit better each year, and at the end of the fourth year, you see how much better he's gotten? I do think he's got a willingness to learn. He's got a work ethic. He's got some tools, and in the meantime, he can run the heck out of it, right? There's things you can do with that if you're patient enough and you don't throw him into the fire and hold him to a higher standard when you drafted him as a project. You didn't draft him as an NFL-ready quarterback who should be playing games his first or second year. But that's what's messed up about this whole thing.
Here's the question that everyone should ask themselves based upon what you saw last year, what you're seeing now. If Ryan Tannehill went down right now and say Will Levis couldn't play because obviously if Tannehill goes down, everybody wants Will Levis to play because he was a second pick. He was a second round pick, and I get it. I understand that part. He's supposed to be the future of this team. But if Willis had to go in this year, personally, I feel better than I did last year of him potentially winning a game or two. I feel much better, not only because of what he's done in the strides that he's made. I think this coaching staff, from the quarterback's coach to the offensive coordinator, are better equipped to work with him and know what his strengths and weaknesses are. And if they stay healthy, the roster from a pass-catching standpoint is better. Imagine him with the D-Hop and the Treylon Burks and the Chigakonkwo and the Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry. It makes his job a little bit easier because now – especially with D-Hop, he has a little room for error when he throws the football. With Treylon, bigger body, he has a little bit room for error when he throws the football. And he's a little bit more comfortable in what he's doing. If he had to go into a game this year, I feel so much more confident that he can go out there and play much better than he did last year and potentially win a game for you.
See, that's what I think the different conversation is, mm-hmm. is I am with you. I would feel more confident in Malik Willis this year than I would last year. Like, mm-hmm. if Malik Willis played against the Chiefs last year like he's playing now, you win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel confident enough that Malik Willis can go in there and win you a game? He's not going to throw you back from, you know, down 35-10. You know, I don't know how many backup quarterbacks in the league
can do that. Yeah.
But if Ryan Tannehill goes down, let's say, knock on wood, with an injury, mm-hmm. maybe it's a three-point game, one way or another. Titans up three, Titans down three. Can Malik Willis win you that game?
I'm still worried about that, big time.
And that's what I'm worried about, too.
But see, I want to see him in another year, in another 2 years. That's what, if you're being fair, if you really are trying to develop quarterbacks, you mm-hmm. should give him that kind of time. But that's the problem, is who's the backup today?
Because you don't have a lot of time in the NFL. And that's the unfortunate
reality.
He could
be better, but still not capable of leading a team to much, other than, you know, maybe getting a great performance around him.
And,
right?
And I think
go
that's
win
a
you a
point.
Game. He's not ready to go win a game in the league.
I think it's a fair point to look at the timeline, to say we're going to give you time to progress and we're going to give you time to get better. But at some point, we have to have a deadline to where we can't wait any longer for you to ascend. So we've compared Malik Willis to what he was last year. Mm-hmm. We've compared Malik Willis to Will Levis and where he is right now. And I think all of those are fair comparisons. But when we're talking about progress and Malik Willis coming in as a kind of a project quarterback, how does he compare to maybe some of the other project quarterbacks that were drafted in his class? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Trevor, he played an entire game, and he didn't throw for 100 yards.
Yeah, and you've got to make the layups in order to get to that point. And people will say, yeah, but he had some drop passes. And that's fair. He did. But he also missed some passes. And he got his receivers smashed a couple of times unnecessarily.
That was Trevor Maddich, ESPN NFL and college football analyst for on Stillman & Company earlier this week. He said, my takeaway, saying my as in Trevor's words, Trevor's takeaway from the preseason game against Minnesota is that Malik doesn't belong in this league, which contrasts what Tim Hasselbeck told us earlier this week, and that is, yeah, he could see Malik developing potentially into a starting NFL quarterback. He's just not there right now. I think we can all agree that, no, he is not there right now. But, Willie, you brought up a very fair point in the last segment about, you know, giving him time. And I would agree that I think overall in the NFL, there's not a whole lot of room for development because there's frankly just not a whole lot of time and there's not a whole lot of space to afford players, especially at the quarterback position, time to develop. So what's a fair amount of time to give Malik Willis to develop? Because he has looked better from this past season, but he does still show us that he has a lot to improve upon. So we've compared him to himself of 2022. We've compared him to Will Levis, which I think are all very fair comparisons and comparisons that are necessary to make. But what we, as a show of us four, have not done is compared him to the rest of the quarterbacks in his draft class.
Mm-hmm.
Because that 2022 NFL draft, it was rough for quarterbacks. Rough for quarterbacks. I mean, there was only one quarterback taken in the first round. That was Kenny Pickett late in the first round. And then we saw the quarterbacks kind of trickle off on the board third, fourth, fifth round of the NFL draft. But I look at four quarterbacks, Malik Willis included. Malik Willis, who's taken in the third round. Sam Howell, taken in the fifth round. Kenny Pickett, who was a first-round quarterback. And Desmond Ridder. All four quarterbacks in that 2022 NFL draft. Three of those four are now NFL starters. And the one that's not and doesn't look poised to be an NFL starter, at least anytime soon, is Malik Willis. And that is one thing that concerns me about the timing of his development. Those quarterbacks, Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell, they were also drafted as developmental project quarterbacks. I mean, Desmond Ridder was only taken a few picks before Malik Willis in the third round, and Sam Howell was taken in the fifth.
But Sam Howell would not be starting on most teams. He's starting because of very specific circumstances on a bad franchise.
But has looked better in the preseason than we've seen from Malik Willis.
Okay. But let's hold out, and I want to see it in the real deal before I say, oh, yeah, this is a starter. Like, we have no idea if he's a starter or not. No idea at this point.
He's a starter, but we don't know if he's a starting caliber quarterback.
But is he a starter?
But he threw for over double the amount of yards that Malik Willis threw for in the last preseason game, and he only played in a half.
Again, we go back to these numbers. And, tackle on 30 yards at least for the two drop passes. And then if you're looking, I'm just getting an opportunity to look at the All-22 from that game. In the offensive line, there was pressure on Malik Willis. If you look at it, as good as the offensive line looked from the television copy, you look at the All-22, it's a much, much different story. He's getting pressure on some of those throws that he's trying to make or some of those guys that he's missing because he's getting pressure. To me, take the numbers aside. Just put the numbers aside. Those quarterbacks that you mentioned, I'm pretty sure they all came from a different type of offense that Malik Willis came from. They were more, even though they were considered projects, they were further ahead than Malik Willis was. And to no fault of anybody's. You know, it's just the offense they ran at Liberty, the offense they ran at these other schools, whether it be North Carolina for Sam Howell or Ridder went to what, Pittsburgh? One of those schools.
Desmond Ridder went to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati,
Kenny
yeah.
Kenny Pickett went to Pitt.
Pitt, yeah. So they were a little bit more advanced than Malik Willis and Liberty for whatever reason. I don't know.
For whatever reason. Of competition.
Exactly.
Level.
So when they come in the NFL, their project is different from Malik Willis being a project. You line all four of them up and you say, well, they're all projects. Where they're all starting from different points in that project. Ridder, Howell, and Pickett are further along already because of the type of offenses they ran than Malik Willis. But they're all considered projects because none of them were considered really first round picks. So if you're not a first round pick in this league, you're considered a project. Will Levis is still considered a project because he was drafted outside of that first round.
So was Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder and Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
He's now the starter in San Francisco.
Absolutely. But these guys were further along in sort of this project type of deal. They're further along because of the offense that they ran in college. Again, no fault of theirs. You know, it's no fault of Malik's. It's just where they decided to go to college. So when we look at it and we say, well, they all were projects, but there were projects at different levels.
But at what point does that need to start, the gap needs to start closing? Because Malik Willis, as much
not after year two,
as much progress has made, there is still a whole lot of progress to be made. And compared to the rest of the draft class, he's clearly behind. And I know that they came from different offenses, but he's now been in an NFL offense for an entire season now.
It's a different offense. He wasn't. I guess what nobody realizes that they changed the quarterbacks coach for a reason. None of those guys, even Woodside, and I said this last year, none of these guys that were behind Ryan Tannehill or behind, the quarterback before Ryan?
Marcus.
They were not getting developed. They were not. You can't tell me that they were, because if they were, we wouldn't be sitting in a situation where we're trying to look for a backup quarterback. None of those guys were developing. I said that year after year. and nothing changed. Now they switch quarterbacks, coach, and offensive coordinators. Hopefully, I believe that Charles London will be able to develop not just Willis, but Levis as well, and anybody that comes after that. Because before him, they were not getting developed. It just showed. You drafted a guy that was a project, a definite project out of Liberty. You drafted him, and you cut the guy that was here that knew the offense.
Which was a mistake.
Which tells me you didn't think that he was good enough to beat out a guy that's a project. Well, you didn't develop him right. Whatever you were doing as far as development wasn't working, and it wasn't working with Willis. So they bring in another quarterbacks coach. I do believe that now these guys will get developed.
But also, let's keep this in mind. They pulled out Josh Dobbs out of thin air just to get somebody in there in a pinch last year.
But Josh had already been in the NFL, 4 or 5 years?
Right, but I'm just saying, okay, I'm this is all going to my vision of where I see Malik Willis long term. They made that decision to scrap his progress. They deemed he wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. Josh Dobbs is better today and next week, right? When they let him play the last two games.
We saw that on Twitter.
So there's that. Yeah. Then they drafted Levis. Okay, so that's another indication of where they see Willis. If they saw Willis as, hey, this guy in another year is going to be the starter, they would not have felt the need to draft Levis or trade up to get
Especially
Levis.
Trading up in the second round.
Right. So, again, what is the Titans' vision of Malik Willis? Right now he's playing a lot because Levis is hurt, and he's also had a good offseason. They're rewarding him for that. But I still see, I think it's a victory if he ends up being the backup quarterback for 3-4 years and gets a little better each year. And then maybe he's a late bloomer as he continues to pick up things. To me, that's the track I see him on. I'm not looking for him to light the world on fire anytime soon.
Malik.
I think they drafted Levis with the idea that Levis, let's see how he looks in another year, and the benefit that Levis has is that he's a second-round pick. He's not Trey Lance, where you traded a lot of assets to move up in the first round and take him, and there's a lot riding. I mean, San Francisco's done an amazing job winning despite the fact that they gave up whatever they gave up to get Trey Lance,
he has really struggled,
and now he's become their third-string quarterback, and he's in his third year.
Yeah,
that's an
epic disaster in San Francisco.
It is, but they're so good. They're still going to win, and they bailed themselves out because they drafted a guy in the eighth round that is maybe going to save their bacon to some degree, which most teams can't find a guy that's that good in the eighth round or seventh round, wherever they got him.
I think that you mentioned it, where he doesn't have to set the world on fire, and I don't need that from Malik Willis. I don't need him to set the world on fire. If he does, great. This team's in a great position if he can set the world on fire. I think for me, it's just, can you take care of the football? Can you run this offense? If Ryan Tannehill, again, knock on wood, goes down with an injury in the middle of a game, can you go in there and execute the offense like Ryan Tannehill can do, and can you take care of the football? I don't know if I'm there with Malik Willis, because we haven't seen him be able to do that so far in the preseason. But let's continue the conversation coming up next, because we do have some thoughts on our text line. So we'll get into those coming up next, 615-737-1025, if you have a thought. Trevor Maddich said he doesn't think that what he's seen so far, that Malik Willis belongs in this league. Your reaction, Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this September 14th through 17th with the Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Text the keyword PAR, P-A-R, now to 615-737-1025 and enter to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. Breaking down Trevor Maddich's analysis of Malik Willis against the Vikings on Saturday and throughout, Malik Willis's preseason so far. Trevor Maddich said he doesn't see that Malik belongs in this league. But let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Justin in Greenbrier texts in, says Malik has made progress and the presence he has on the field is much better than last season. I would agree. goes on to say, but I think because of the way we saw him perform last year, people still have that bad taste in their mouth. I hope we do see him more this week and he learns from last week because his running has gotten much better, but it's his passing that needs the work. I'll speak for myself because I can't say what everyone else is doing. I can't say what Trevor was looking at or keeping in mind or Tim Hasselbeck was keeping in mind or what you guys were keeping in mind. I'll speak for myself. I'm not thinking about last year from Malik Willis because last year was last year and we all saw how bad, frankly, Malik Willis was this past season. And we all understand and know that Malik Willis had zero business being on the field. And I put that on John Robinson. I think that that was football malpractice that Malik Willis ever even came close to the football field this past season. But I'm looking at what I've seen this year. And yes, Malik Willis does look improved. But Malik Willis still has a lot of improvement left to make. He still struggles throwing the football. He still makes some questionable decisions. He's thrown two interceptions in the preseason, and they were both pretty bad ones. He fumbles the football a lot. So I'm looking at what he has done this year. I'm not letting last year cloud my judgment. And frankly, I don't think that we should let last year cloud our judgment as a whole, as Titans fans as a whole. I don't think that that's necessarily fair. Just look at what he's done this year.
I think the biggest thing for him, one, is he has to protect the football. And I'm not saying from a pass standpoint. I'm saying when he's in the pocket. He needs to figure out a way to hold on to the football. Now, the one in Minnesota, that wasn't his fault. I mean, he play action pass, and the minute he was getting ready to throw it, I mean, the left tackle gets beat, or the left guard gets beat, one of the two, and the guy hits his hand. Luckily, he gets the ball back. But on some other ones, he's too loose with the ball. Mm-hmm. I think what he's trying to do is trying to keep himself alive to make a play, trying to keep his arm alive to make a play. And that's what young players do. As you start to get more and more experience, you know, hey, listen, I just got to play another down. Take the loss, play another down, and let's go. I think he's always constantly trying to make a play. And I'm sure Will Levis would probably be sort of the same, you know, in regards to filling a pocket, filling a rush, but still trying to keep your arm live to make a play. Veteran quarterbacks know, like, listen, it comes a point where I got to tuck the ball and just go down and just play another down. I think that's what he needs to learn, how to protect the football from that standpoint. Now, the interceptions, yeah, he's a person in a situation where he can't afford those things to happen for him. He's in an uphill battle, and he has to damn near be perfect when throwing the football. I'm talking about as far as protecting the football. Some of those tight throws that you got to be able to make in the NFL, you know, he may have to pull it down and may take the check down because you don't want to get in the put yourself in a position where, you know, that's what they think of you, that you're careless with the football, throwing it down the field. The two drops he had, I don't blame that on him. Those were good balls. The interception he had with Wiley, again, I go back to, you should have caught that football, hit both of your hands. Yes, the ball could have been lower. It should have been lower. But every pass that a quarterback makes is not going to be a perfect pass. This is what we're taught as starters. When the backup comes in, it is your job to elevate your game because he's a backup for a reason. He's not the starter, okay? He's a backup. When he comes in the game, yeah, you expect him to go out there and do his job. But you got to elevate your game as a starter. No matter what, that's the way we're coached. That's the way it goes down. You can't tell me any different because these are things that I've heard, I've witnessed.
And Josh Wiley's also a backup as well.
And Josh Wiley's a backup as well. But those are catches and passes. Like I said, that ball should have been a little bit lower.
But that's my thing. That ball should have been lower.
But those are catchable balls. That's what they are.
I didn't think that ball was catchable.
I'm telling you, 100%. That ball was catchable. Nobody on the planet can tell me, or outside this planet can tell me that that wasn't a, that that was a that oh that ball wasn't catchable. He put both his hands on it.
Okay. It was way too high.
But aren't we doing a little too much of this, though?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say all three of those passes had been right on the money, complete, and you get the yards and mm-hmm. the stats look better. I still think that those aren't the defining things, three or four plays. It's more of the big picture. What's happening every day at practice? What's happening? What are the coaches seeing on the reads and everything? That's way more important than how many yards did he throw for.
But those are things that we
don't.
But those are things that we're not seeing. Nor
right.
is
that's,
Tim
that's
seeing.
The point I'm making.
Nor is Trevor seeing. So when
yes.
what we're seeing is in the game. Now, as I said at the beginning, I don't care about anybody else's evaluation but the Titans. And if the Titans yeah. feel that he's doing good enough to stay on this roster, then so be it. I don't want to see any of these quarterbacks other than Ryan Tannehill throughout the season. I don't feel like
I'm with you.
100% good about both of them. But I do believe that he's making improvements, but not making improvements enough to be a starter. I think Will Levis will ultimately make improvements. And I think Will Levis will ultimately, it seems, will be the starter once Ryan Tannehill is out there. I just think Will Levis has more – his tools are more ready – for the NFL right now than Malik Willis's twos are.
So that leads us back to the pressing question, and that is, who would go in there
yeah.
if they needed the backup? And that's still a huge question mark right now. Willis should be ahead because he's played more and Levis has been hurt. He's in his second year as opposed to his first year, so Willis should have a big inside track. But I think there's still a major question mark. If they lost Tannehill for a couple of weeks, could they get by? I'm not sure that they could. And Levis, is he going to play on Friday? We don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a hamstring, you could tweak that and make it a 4-week thing mm-hmm. just like that if you're not ready to go. So they got to weigh that versus his need to play. But they could go into the regular season with Levis having played just the 5 or 6 series he did against the Bears in the preseason. He's way behind. I would say.
That's kind of the concern to me, mm-hmm. is that I think Malik Willis had such a wonderful opportunity come across his desk. Is it unfortunate for Will Levis that he didn't get those reps, he didn't get that opportunity in Minnesota? Yes, it is. But unfortunately, you were hurt, and this is the NFL. But Malik Willis had a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of and to really grasp that backup quarterback role and to really cement himself as the better backup. But he didn't. At least not to me. I didn't step away from that game on Saturday night thinking, ooh, really stinks for Will Levis after seeing what we saw from Malik on Saturday night. I didn't come away from that game feeling like that. And that concerns me for Malik Willis. Because I think at this point, he needs to be making us feel a little bit more comfortable about him having to go into a game. I don't need you to throw me out of a 14-point deficit, but I do need you to take care of the football. I can't depend on Malik Willis to do that quite yet. But let's continue the conversation coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.